I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's kickoff to summer week. It is a big Monday show today. We're going to have the Knicks and the Pacers game one on Wednesday. We'll be at DJ's in Belmar on Friday morning. Don't forget that the warm-up show starts at 6. We start at 7. We go to 11, and then country music artist Chris Lane will play a full set out there for everybody starting shortly after 11 a.m., and it's all free. Come and hang out. We will be there. Big stage on the ocean. So very, very excited for another big kickoff to summer show. Chris Lane, I know, will be there. One person who has not been confirmed to show up because she just, I don't know if she's got commitment issues or what it is, but that's our new friend Tracy in Atlantic Highlands, where we have asked her multiple times, are you coming? She goes, I don't know. I mean, what is she... she think this is, you know, just she think it's just like a couple people standing around. I mean, this is a huge day. We've got hundreds of listeners, sponsors, people paying attention, a big crowd out there, and she's sort of like been disrespecting this kickoff to summer, and she's on the line now. So Tracy, have you committed to kickoff to summer yet?
Hello.
Hi.
I don't know. Now that sounds too big for me. I don't know. I'm just a little humble pie here in Atlantic Highlands. I don't That would scare the crap out of me, actually. Now you said hundreds of people.
Listen, Tracy, you would be a star. For whatever reason, we like your phone calls. The listeners really love you, Tracy. I don't...
Well, that one guy didn't. He called, and he was kind of mean.
Oh, was he? I don't... But anyway, listen, the reaction...
Stop being so sensitive, Tracy. Let's go.
Sensitive. You're hurting my feelings. Okay, so this is my pitch. So I think I'm going to call up now, and I'm going to ask you guys if something is a sport or not, and then you could discuss.
Okay.
So my first one. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how about hobby horsing?
Hobby horsing? Like, what is hobby horsing? Like,
hobby horsing.
What is that?
So it looks like, at first I thought it was a joke, but it's a real thing. But I don't know if it is a real sport. It really just looks so sad that these people don't have horses.
I see this. It's fake horses that they're running around and doing like steeplechase. No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's hobby horsing is not a sport. It's a mental illness.
I mean, it's all around the world. People with these stick horses.
Yeah, no, come on, Tracy. You know the answer to that. That's certainly not a, certainly not a sport.
I feel like people are going to call and argue that one.
No way. Okay. Not our audience. I'm telling you
All right. How about cheese rolling?
Oh, and you roll it down the hill?
I don't know. It says cheese rolling might be one of the most obscure sports in the world. Every year, grown adults, primarily men, congregate in a village in England, and they roll cheese.
The cheese, yeah, down the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that.
I've seen it, yeah.
Sport, Boomer? You want this one?
No.
He'll say not a sport with that. I mean, it's an event.
Event, yes. Just like hobby horsing is an event.
But not a sport.
It's an event.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
About darts.
Mm. See, darts is now, we're talking like the same, like cornhole, darts, billiards.
Yeah, right. I know. I would say that's the same family.
Yeah, definitely the same family.
Horseshoes.
Yeah, horseshoes is another one.
Darts.
I'm going to say, I'm not going to say sport. I'm going to, what is the word I'm looking for with those particular
activity?
Yeah.
It's an activity. It's a competitive activity.
There you go. Not a sport. Perfect.
Oh, you're going to get a lot of haters.
We already get a lot of haters anyway, Tracy. What do we care?
I don't care either.
There you go. Good for you.
Okay.
All right. So you better be there, Tracy. All right. You're going to be at this kickoff this summer. You have to be there. You are going to get the biggest, you're going to get a bigger ovation. What's that?
If it's in the morning, maybe.
It is in the morning.
If it's in the morning, maybe.
I'm still a maybe. All right, I'm like 50%.
Man, you really are a woman, aren't you? You just cannot make up your mind.
I am.
You cannot make up your mind.
I can't. I know. It's like sometimes I want to and then I don't.
Yeah. No, I mean, it sounds like it.
Well, you know what I think we do? I think, Tracy, hopefully we'll see you on Friday, and we hope that you're there. We want you to be there. If you're not, I know Nicole will be there.
That's
Nicole,
right.
Nicole, good morning. You're on with Boomer and Geo.
Bing bong. You know I'm going to be there Friday. 100% committed with crumb cake all around.
Love
some
it.
Diabetic treats for Eddie.
Diabetic treats.
So you know I'll be there.
Yeah, last year you gave him dog biscuits, which I thought was strange. That he was eating those little milk bones.
No, I'm kidding.
Nicole, you are a super fan. You deserve the attention. You deserve the love. We love the fact that you stand there and hang out with all our other crazy listeners and bring us crumb cakes. So can't wait for another year. You know it's a kickoff to summer, and you look out there, and Nicole's got a pastry box.
and this way, I'm hopefully Tracy is listening, and you'll see you won't be the only woman there. There are plenty of women who do show up, and there are loyal
and you
listeners
the young
like
lady
Nicole.
Last year.
Yes.
The young lady last year, she was in Geo suit from
that's right. Yes.
Show.
Oh, my God.
Yep,
yes.
Yep. Yeah, that it's is always nice to meet other ladies.
Right. That so you had that married couple that waited outside from the, it wasn't the Paramount show. It was actually the second show at the White Eagle Hall. And they waited outside, okay. And I had the suit, and they asked me for the suit, and then they were wearing it. Or the guy was had the pants on, and the wife had the jacket on.
That's great.
I was like, wow, you guys are really serious about this. Huh?
That's great.
And then they stopped and they asked me for the American flag suit, which I did not give them. I was like, I could wear this again. That yellow one, I'm not going to wear again, but the American flag I could definitely wear. All right, Nicole, we'll see you there. All right.
See you Friday.
All right,
have a
great
day,
sounds
guys.
Great.
Awesome. Very, very good. So we go from Nicole to another well-known caller. Dan in Carteret, New Jersey, who I saw was hanging out with Jazz Chisholm. Did you ask him why everybody calls him Jism, Dan?
No, did not.
Funny you should have. If I knew you were going there, which I didn't, I saw the aftermath on social media of you taking a picture, I would have said, you have to ask him, why do you think people call you Chaz?
Chisholm scores
Jism.
Chaz Jism. Anyway,
yeah,
what's up?
I was tempted.
Yeah, of course, man. I mean, that's an answer everybody needs to know. What's on your mind today, Dan?
A couple things. So I wasn't going to call in until tomorrow or Wednesday because I didn't think it would be a topic today, being that the Knicks advanced and we had the Subway Series. But the Dave Sims stuff was a topic during the 8 o'clock hour. But I want to share some words from the legendary, the great Eddie Scazzeri.
Okay.
Okay. During between 6:30 and 7, when I was driving home from work, Boomer mentioned Brian Cashman. He said something about it's all tribute to Brian Cashman. You guys were talking about the Yankees, and as soon as Boomer said the words Brian Cashman, the Boomer Brian Cashman sucks drop was instantly played. So I text Eddie, "How did you hit the drop that fast?" Because even for Eddie, it was instant. And Eddie replied to me and said, "I didn't. I'm not there today. Perhaps they found my replacement." So I texted Eddie back. I said, "Well, who's working the board up today?" And he said, this is the praise he gave me. He said, "Rami, kid has potential."
Wow. Man, I tell you, that right there might be the best compliment yet. Now, we don't want Rami's head to get too big because he's one of these Gen Z guys where all of a sudden he's going to be walking around and counting his chickens, and we don't need any of that. But that might be the best compliment yet that Dan, who has listened to Eddie's drops for many years, thought it was Eddie because it was so quick.
And then it was so quick. And then 15 minutes after that, Boomer praised Rami by saying we're on our sixth string board op and he's doing a great job because Rami nailed like a couple other drops instantly. It was pretty spot on. So the great Eddie Scazzeri with the praise.
Wow, man. I tell you, Rami, don't chill out now, right? God's sakes.
Like, don't talk.
Just chill out. Just take the, say thank you. I appreciate that. Don't be running around calling your friends and whatever you guys do or putting this up on TikTok or something. Like, I'm the greatest board op ever. And here's why. And do like a little video. Just chill out. You're doing a nice job. All right.
Now, regarding Dave Sims, like I said, I didn't think it would be a topic today, but I posted on X on Saturday that I've listened to plenty of WFAN Yankees radio broadcasts this season, as I do every season, and I posted on Saturday, unbeknownst that Sims was dealing with, you know, losing his voice and whatever illness he's dealing with, that his broadcasts are a bore. I mean, his broadcasts are a bore. He's, in my opinion, he's not the guy, even though he's the guy, and nobody has a better pulse for these things than I do. I have the best ear for these things. Nobody outside of working in the sports industry was ever nominated for the Pulse of the People Award, the prestigious Pulse of the People Award, than me. I was nominated for it. So I have the pulse for these things. The best radio broadcast of a Yankees game outside of John and Susan was when Craig and Susan broadcast the Yankees game, and no one's even come close, not Justin Shackle, not Barbari. Craig's vernacular, his commentary, the energy, and I'm not kissing his butt. You know, I have no reason to kiss Craig's butt, but he was the best broadcast outside of John and Susan, and it's not even close.
Well, here's
Sims,
the thing,
Sims
Dan. I don't think I don't think that Craig's going to take that job full time, even if it was offered to him. I don't believe he would do that because he's got other gigs and stuff like that. But I'm sure he's going to love to hear that. But yeah, what about BT? Did you like when BT did the analysis when he filled in for Susan?
Didn't catch that one. Never got to listen to that one.
All right.
But
all right, very good.
I know there was a couple callers earlier, so I'll echo what they said because they were, they had negative comments about Sims too earlier. So that's what prompted me to want to call in today. And he's just they got to do something. They got to talk to him and figure out a way for him to get his emotions up and get his energy up because he is a bore with Susan.
Mean,
damn.
Penis.
Jesus.
All right, Dan. You have a good day, man. All right.
Man.
Thanks. Bye.
That's it. Dana Carteret needs to settle down a little bit. Man, oh, man.
I mean, he is all over Rami, though.
Jesus Christ.
It's not like he's always negative. I mean, he just gave Rami praise.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
He also gave Craig praise.
He did, and then he slammed Dave Sims. That is true. So you can't be like, oh, Dan just hates everything. He just said two things he liked and one thing he didn't like. I don't know. It's tough because anytime there's a new voice after you're used to the old voice...
Yeah,
for a very long
time.
Knew
it was going to take a while.
Yeah, but I mean, as far I don't know if he's a bore. I mean, I know he. The one thing that he does that I guess I'd like to hear a little bit different is, you know how when Howie calls the opponent's good plays with an energy and a tone where you could tell he's not a total homer, but he still puts an emotion into it. Like that is a skill. Like with Dave, he's like, oh, well, then, you know, whoever they're playing, let's say it's not the Mariners. I shouldn't use that example.
Can't use the Athletics.
Yeah, just let's play this. They're playing the Guardians, and I'll be like, oh, double in the gap.
I know.
Comes around third, score, Guardians take the lead. You know, like he does that.
Whereas, it's very disappointed.
Yeah. So, like, I don't like to hear that type of stuff. But other than that, I think he's been doing it for a long time. He's good. He used to do the Westwood One football games. I mean,
yeah, you just got to get used to the voice. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, guy, who knows? Who knew this was going to be like a hammer time on Dave Sims today?
I have no idea. I mean, like, he had a bad voice this week, so that happens.
Jesus. I mean, there's got to be people like Dave. I'm pretty sure people like him.
Yeah. Hey,
who would be the person, by the way, that's like, oh, they got to talk, like, Dan's like, they got to talk to him about being more emotional. Like, who's that person? He used to be Spitz. Is it Big Hurls now?
Dominic Schlupchak.
Do you think it's Big Hurls that goes and calls Dave and gives him tips?
I think that's who it would have to be.
Big Hurls, if you're listening, text me. Whatchamacallit? You did not, what? There's no way that this guy's doing what he said he did. Or anyway, I'll get to the call in a second.
All right.
But Big Hurls, if you're listening, text me. Are you the guy that has to reach out to Dave Sims and tell him to have more energy? Or is that an Olive thing?
Yeah, but again, you're taking one person's... You're taking one person's point of view.
If Big Hurls or somebody agreed with Dan, who would be the person to reach out to give notes? That's what I want to know. That's really what it is. Brian in Old Bridge. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, Gio, how's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Nothing much. I don't know if you remember me, but NLCS, Dodgers, pregame party.
Oh, of course. Now I know what you're talking about. I thought when I looked at this, I thought it was kickoff to summer that you were talking about. But yes, it was game five, right? NLCS before the game. We ended up doing a shot at tequila. It was me, you, my mother, and was it your wife that was there too?
Right. And I hit you up on Twitter to see if we could to run it back, you know, sometime after.
That's
the
right.
Show.
Of course I remember. I'm Brian, of course. I remember you now. I even remember your last name on there as well. So yeah, I mean, my mom's not going to go down to Jersey, I can guarantee you that. That was a special night. We went to Citi Field, but yeah, I am staying in Jersey on Friday and staying over again, right, so I can hang out and have some fun this time, and I don't have to drive all the way home. So I can have shots this year. So Brian, I'm in.
All right, listen, I'm going to be there. Hopefully, with my 4-year-old and 1-year-old, I'll be in a David Wright jersey because you know our kids are up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So there's no reason for us not to be there. And you guys got to check out our favorite bar down there at Manasquan called Leggett's. We'd love to have you guys there. Actually, Eric LeGrand has his whiskey there also. So
nice.
We'd love to have you guys there, and hopefully we'll see you down there. Let's go, Knicks. Let's go, Met, baby.
Absolutely, Brian. I'll see you Friday. We will definitely do the shot together. If you could find a babysitter, I would recommend that. 4-1, my lord.
And what's the temp? Somebody just sent me the temp on Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be nice and sunny, man.
It's going to be nice and sunny, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It's going to be a little chilly in the morning.
Yeah, it's okay. We've dealt with that before.
Yeah.
Who wants a really hot day anyway, right?
I actually like a nice chill in the morning. And here in this studio, it's freezing anyway.
Yeah, a nice little chill off the ocean. No big deal.
No big deal.
Put on a sweatshirt. We're good. We are good. And it would be so many great fans there. So many great fans there that everybody will keep each other warm, right?
Yes, they will, yes.
Jimmy in Sayville, what's going on, Jimmy?
Keo, have you figured out how you're getting Gina down there yet?
No, she's not coming, Jimmy, so she's going to be elsewhere.
I told you I'd ride shotgun with her, and I'd even take Louise with us.
Man, who's driving, Jimmy?
Gina.
You're going to make her drive?
I haven't driven in 10 years. Are you kidding me?
Well, I know.
If you want me to drive, I'll drive. But
I don't want you to drive because you're blind.
Jimmy's trying to get a hold of your mother-in-law, Louise.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't think she's interested, Jimmy. I've tried. I don't think it's not just you. It's every man. So I don't know what I can do.
She hates men.
No.
Down to Jersey.
Jimmy, no, I'm sorry, man. Why don't you go yourself? Why don't you show up and get a ride? Then we'll have someone else drive you, because someone that can see, preferably, to get you down there.
I'll take an Uber.
All right, good. Take an Uber. I'll see you down there.
You pay for the Uber?
Jesus.
Jimmy. Is your last name Schwartz?
Send a boat to the West Sayville docks, and I'll take a ride from there.
All right, very good, Jimmy. The only other person
sounds just like Peter Schwartz.
I know.
You're gonna pay for this. You're gonna pay for that. I'll show up. You do this.
Right. Oh. The only other person who ever asked me to pay for their Uber was Peter Schwartz.
The Kia.
It's the only other person. Can you pay for my Uber? And you remember what happened? I paid for the Uber. It was under my account, and it got into an accident.
Yes.
And I had to cancel it. My rating went down from like a 5 to a 2. I can't get picked up. No Uber, they just decline me all the time now because of Peter Schwartz. It's unbelievable. So there's your lesson of the day. Don't ever use your Uber account on somebody else.
That's not my fault.
Yeah, well, it is. Damn it. I had to cancel it. He goes, can you cancel it and call me a new one? I'm like, Jesus. It's like, do you have the Uber app on your phone, Pete?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, do it. I'll reimburse you, for God's sakes. I'm getting ready for Boomer and Geo Live. Don't need this stress in my life. Anyway, Jimmy's a blind guy, wants to go down and drive my wife and mother-in-law. I mean,
there's so many things I could say right now that I will not say.
Probably smart.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco's back. He's got another update and moment of the day. What's going on, Jerry?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. We're talking Yankees-Mets this morning. Subway Series baseball. We know. The Yankees won 8-2. I'll give you two of the highlights that are most notable, and this is the bad throw, of course, from Pete Alonso.
Swing and a grounder to first. Dominguez breaks for the plate. Alonso has it, but he throws it away. He throws it to the backstop. Dominguez scores. Going to third is Wells. Safe at first on the fielder's choice is B-Boss.
Yeah, and the Yankees took the lead, and then it was just moments later where Paul Goldschmidt would extend the lead.
Goldschmidt rocks it, face it up the middle. Paul Goldschmidt in the clutch once again. Wells is home. Bebas is second. And the Yankees with two in the eighth inning off Stanek. They have a 4-2 lead.
And that's Ryan Stanek, or as Frank the Tank likes to call him, Ryan Stank. And then you got the grand slam from Cody Bellinger, and that be that as the Yankees move to 27-19 on the season, taking 2 of 3 over the weekend. Here was Pete Alonso obviously discussing the whole bad throw to home plate.
Yeah, I just made an awful throw. I mean, that whole inning of this game, it's on me.
So reminiscent of 2015 in the World Series against the Royals, which we played earlier. In terms of the at-bat that Jorbeet Vivas put together, this was through a translator with Susan on the field.
You know, it's a little cold coming into the game, but, you know, the mindset was to put the ball in play, really. You know, like you said, throwing hard, so you just want to make contact and make something happen for the team.
He made it happen, all right, as Dominguez scored from third. Here's Cody Bellinger, 6 RBIs. It was more than just the grand slam. He also had earlier in the game the 2-run double.
Feels good. Anytime you can kind of stand on that field and help the team win, I mean, that's what it's all about. So just trying to, you know, do what I can to be a part of this team. And I like where we're at, so we just got to keep going.
Yeah, this weekend was Juan Soto's nightmare weekend, because the guys that are there because Juan Soto left all played important parts in winning 2 of the 3 games.
Juan Soto!
Including Max Fried last night, who was, again, great.
Max Fried was great. Max Fried has been great. This was his first time through the Subway Series.
It was definitely exciting. You know, it was intense. Both teams going at it, giving it everything they had. I felt like there was some series when I was with the Braves and the Mets that were pretty intense too. Felt pretty similar, but you know, it's different when you got both teams from the same city.
It's amazing how good he's been. Last night, he gives up a couple of runs. The ERA goes up, which is really impressive.
ERA is 1.29 now.
Yep. Yeah, he's really been awful the last couple of starts. Ha, ha, ha. Here's Carlos Mendoza, how Soto dealt with all the fan reaction over the weekend.
He knew what was coming, and he didn't change, you know, even though today was pretty much the only game that we didn't see results. But the past couple of games, he was on base half of the at-bats, couple of walks.
Yeah, I guess, but still, he didn't really have much impact in these games. 0-for-4 last night, 0-for-4 for Lindor, 0-for-4 for Pete Alonso as well. Mets in Boston tonight to take on the Red Sox. Kodai Senga, the start on Mets Odyssey Radio, first pitch at 6:45. The Rangers are off. They'll take on the Rangers tomorrow. Now, when you look at the stands, the Yankees 5 games up in the AL East, the Mets a half game up on Philadelphia and 5 up on Atlanta in the NL East. The Thunder beat the Nuggets 125-93, taking Game 7 of their series as they advance to the Western Finals. Game 1 will be tomorrow night as they're right back to it very quickly. Here with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what do you learn from this long, lengthy series?
We can win no matter the environment, no matter the type of game. It could be ugly, it could be pretty, it could be high scoring, it could be low scoring. It could be a lot of free throws, it could be no free throws. Like, no matter what it is, we can find a way to win.
And they have. Here was Nikola Jokic just praising him.
His shot selection, his shots capability of making his own shots, separation, playing in his rhythm. You know, defensively, he was like always stealing the balls, always blocking shots. You know, he's like a little punter out there. He's like always, he was always there. You know,
I don't know what that means. What
little punter. I don't know.
But I will say like one
this
thing.
Squirrel that Western, tail.
That Western Conference with SGA and
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards is going to be something.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Two young rising stars. And then, you know, we always talk about these guys. We need the rest. It's quieted down for sure, but it is still a thing that they need more time for recovery. Yet, once again, here's another guy in Jokic when talking about his off-season plans.
I need to decide. There is a EuroBasket, the European Championship. I need to decide that. I need to talk with the coaches and with some of the main players.
Let's talking like about that. Playing in this European Championship.
And, a lot of the hockey players are playing in that
I know
right
that.
Now.
But do they complain about the length of the season?
No,
and days
I think
off?
They all look forward right. to going over there, including Sidney Crosby, who went over there.
The point is always that they complain about the season, too many games, they need more time off, yet all they do is play basketball right. when
it's
they
just,
are
it's
off.
It's the same thing with the World Baseball Classic now, and then, of course, the Olympics is coming, so everybody's going to want to participate in those things, which is good.
That is all true, no question. All right, you got the Knicks and the Pacers. They're going to start Wednesday at Madison Square Garden. Here was Josh Hart. He had the triple-double on Friday night in the advancing win. And what's next for his club?
Yeah, man, it's going to be a tough opponent. You know, they push the plate, the pace, they run on makes, misses, and it's going to be a huge communication series for us. We're going to have to be locked in on every possession.
To get through and get to the NBA Finals.
They want to take a million shots. They want to get up and down the court. They want to play with 9 to 10 players. And they want to try to run the opposing team into oblivion is what they want to try to do. That's the Pacers' game plan. And the Knicks, you know, they seem to be up for it. And the question is will Tom Thibodeau go maybe an extra player or two just simply because of the way that the Pacers end up playing? But, you know, that's yet to be seen. We'll find out about that pretty quickly Wednesday night.
No question. The 49ers finalizing this big deal with Brock Purdy. 5 years, $265 million. Panthers took Game 7 in Toronto. They win 6-1. So you've talked a lot about the Maple Leafs, and they've come up really short specifically in front of their home fans. Here was Craig Berube. Why are they not, why haven't they performed in big games?
For me, it's all between the ears. It's a mindset. These guys are capable of doing it. You just got to execute it, and we didn't execute it. We didn't execute it in Game 5, and we didn't execute it in Game 7. You know, I don't have an answer for that. Why? But that's the bottom line.
Well, how about John Tavares? Remember him? He was asked about the fans' frustrations as they were booing throughout that third period last night.
Caution is a significant word amongst this fan base, and it's really special, and, you know, feel their disappointment. It's tough. Never want to see the jerseys on the ice, but you know, we just didn't play well enough.
It's amazing. They win Game 6 down in Florida 2-0. You know, they could have easily given up there. You know, it's just one of these things that break down here, break down there, and next thing you know, the puck's in the back of the net, and then all of a sudden the floodgates open for Florida last night. I mean, you know, Florida's a tremendous team. They're a tremendous team, and the fact that this went 7 is a testament, I think, you know, to the Maple Leafs, but the way the Florida Panthers came back from a 2-0 deficit in this tells you that, you know, obviously they have the heart of the champion.
Florida, Carolina, Game 1 tomorrow night, and in golf, Scottie Scheffler won the PGA Championship. All right, time now for Moment of the Day. Rami has filled in for Eddie, and I would think you would agree he's done quite well today. So these are three little snippets of his work where callers were, one, getting on Dave Sims for missing last night's game, two, the station not giving Emmanuel Babari more of a chance to do games, and lastly, an old football writer criticizing a take from what he calls Old Boomer.
Dave Sims was sick, had a voice issue,
mm-hmm.
and okay. and I, you know, obviously I Don't hold that against
Barry shows up. Barry took a bolt to the face. He shows up the next day. Booms. You had 101 fever, right? You showed up to work.
Yeah, I get where you're going, Steve. I understand that. But this is...
I mean, how could he have no voice? He took off last weekend.
I don't know. Maybe he lost his voice in Seattle. Who knows?
I know.
Yeah. Did we get somebody that actually wants to work for the Yankees?
Wow. Oh, come on.
Steve, man. I tell you. They are working him in. He does the post-game show, and he fills in when Dave is off, so he is getting an opportunity to do so, and Dave is in his 70s as well, and he's right there, Emmanuel. So, yeah, I mean, if you love Emmanuel, he is getting those opportunities. He's also doing some stuff at SNY, so, yeah, we like Emmanuel. So, I mean, I don't know.
He's a you jackass! Hey, now!
He said former Bengals quarterback Boomer Esiason, the crankiest old man in any room.
You slapdick.
I couldn't have said it any better myself.
Well, you kind of did, Boomer. There you go. Yeah. And ironic that you say that writer is the same age as Boomer.
Yeah, I know. It's insane.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Did you see on Saturday, John Rahm hit that dude in the neck and then the ball went off and went onto the green. Now, this guy, and if you didn't see it, so John Rahm hits a shot. It wasn't a drive. It was a second shot. So it was from pretty far away. I mean, it's probably like 150 yards or more. And there's a guy who's sitting in a chair, like right around the green. It goes wayward, and it just hits him in like the side of the head or the neck. And he was a young, stocky dude. And the thing just bounced right off him, flew across the green. And he was like, yeah. He didn't even care.
He loved it.
He loved it.
You know, I don't know about you, but watching his golf tournament this weekend, there were more guys that hit more wayward shots than we normally see. Bad drives, and even like Scottie Scheffler and Trevor Immelman, to his credit, as they were talking about Scottie's first nine holes, was talking about how he's got to get this thing straightened out, whatever's going on with him and his swing.
Yeah.
Kind of like you on Friday.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me about when I was watching Scottie Scheffler readjust his swing path.
Yeah.
I was thinking, man, that's G on Friday.
I did. I readjusted it for the better.
But I thought Trevor was really good in covering the fact that here's the greatest golfer in the world right now, and even he is struggling.
Yeah, of course. That's the game. But yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a tighter course. They have a lot of trees, and there's a long second shots. Just a lot. I feel like so many like second shots going into the greenside bunkers too was a major, major thing that happened in the tournament.
Well, Noren was in so many bunkers.
Yeah.
That Swedish guy who had been out for about a year and a half.
Yep.
Coaching his kids' softball team.
He came back with a vengeance. But yeah, that was usually you see like, you know, someone get hit with a ball and it might be like an older person or, you know, catches somebody and they're bleeding and this dude ate that thing.
Remember you were telling me last week that this is, you know, par four, 540-yard
drive,
par
four. Yeah.
And I was telling you it was going to be driver 8-iron, driver 9-iron. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, no, I know. I just, these guys are different, obviously.
Yeah.
You see a 540-yard par four into the wind for your average weekend hacker. I mean, that's like a...
Did you like it? I know the golf course got a little bit of criticism early on.
I don't like that place.
You didn't like it?
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
I thought it was pretty cool, man. I thought 14 was a cool hole. And a
18,
guys...
I like 18. I like 18 with the creek.
Yep.
You didn't like
14, the drivable par 4?
Yeah, it was fun when you, because they're moving the tee boxes back and forth. Yeah, that was fun to watch. I shouldn't say that. That was fun to watch. But there was so many guys that ended up going for it and ended up in the water. It was just frustrating. And then guys were bailing out right into the rough. There was very few really great shots on that hole. Max Homa had one, which was awesome, probably the best of the tournament. Scotty had a great one, too.
Yeah, actually, yeah. There were a bunch of eagles there, so yeah. It was good.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't love the place. And last time they had a major there, I wasn't as into golf. But, I mean, it's... I don't know. Like, and I also, what that one dude said before the tournament, like, got in my head too about the no character. Like, like it's like a Kardashian, where it's new, it's well kept, but it's got no character soul, or soul.
Got no soul.
Yeah, character or soul.
Well,
yeah.
They just had come from the cricket club that has soul.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, any you know, golf club built around 1900 is going to have, you know, history and soul and great shot making and great history, like all the experiences that you want. This has relatively been, you know, it's been around for a while, but it's been modified, you know, and restored and kind of renovated a little bit.
And by the way, so when Scotty, you know, taps in, and he had a 6-shot lead, but, you know, ends up tapping in at first, he just very reserved and hugs the caddy. But then he, like, showed more emotion I've ever seen.
Yeah, but why do you think he did that? It was like,
so I was going to ask you. Yeah, I was going to ask you why. I mean, maybe, I don't know. He's never shown that. Is he doing that because people think he's boring and he feels like he has to do something
just
like that?
Just gave him one in, man. I don't care how boring.
No, but I mean, I know, but what's your opinion on why he would do that?
I don't know why he did that. And even Jim Nance referred to that. But I don't know why he did it. He didn't have to do it. Just be who you are. Just be authentic. Just be who you are. Be true to yourself. He is a little bit of a machine on the golf course.
Yeah.
Or a robot, if you will. But I don't know. I was happy that he won. I wanted him to win.
Same here.
And this even came after, you know, day one when he was complaining about mud on the ball.
Well, he was.
Remember that he double bogeyed that hole and remember, still won, and so this did, by five shots.
I know. And then I know. So did Xander. They both hit terrible shots. And Jordan Spieth, the prior week, was complaining about mud balls. He's like, I know I'm not supposed to talk about this. But he was asked about it, Scotty, and he gave you a thorough answer. And I mean, and you said you agreed with him.
I did agree with him. Yeah. But I also will say the other thing, too, about this tournament yesterday, the crowds were enormous.
Yeah.
It was great to see the crowds. And it just makes me think of what Bethpage is going to be like when the Ryder Cup is here. I just hope New York golf fans don't make jackasses out of themselves.
Mm.
You know, I know there's going to be a lot of chirping and all that other stuff going on, you know.
You just don't want it to turn into like the waste management, is what you're saying.
Exactly. But it may. It will have the potential to do that.
No,
I kind of like what the Yankee fans did this weekend. I thought it was very smart about what they did. Turn their, you know, turn around.
Yeah.
And turn their backs to Juan Soto when he came out the right. I think that's great.
I'll tell you, though. I mean, Rory is a guy, and I understand he's got a deep breath after the career Grand Slam and winning the Masters and everything else. But he is a guy who you can get to. And that's been shown before, is that one guy made one comment to him on a tee box, went over and stole his phone out of his hands and walked away with it. He's someone who will not talk to the media after a bad round. Like, you can get to him.
And by the way, I hate that too. I hate the fact that, you know, all these other athletes, for the most part, show up and have to discuss their poor performances and maybe what went wrong and maybe through their mind what happened. And I'm glad that Bryson DeChambeau did that yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And spoke to Amanda. That's good. That's great stuff.
He did it after the Masters, too. I mean, they kind of came off like a jerk after the Masters, but he still did. He still talked.
Maybe he does that because this is his opportunity to actually talk to golf fans because nobody sees him play on Live. Nobody cares.
Well, but he's got millions of subscribers on YouTube that people see. So
do you think the D-Train is going to get Live and the PGA Tour together?
I don't know. I mean, I keep hearing about it, but it doesn't sound like anything's happening.
If there's one person who can do it, it's all about commerce. He can do it.
No, I understand, but it just doesn't sound promising, to be honest with you. But you had Bryson up there. You had Rahm up there. You had, you know, those guys had a decent showing.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick up there having an eagle.
Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick.
He's kind of a strange
talking about
dude.
A boring guy. I mean,
yeah.
God, he won the U.S. Open. That was horrendous. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's... Nice guy, works hard, whatever, but he's not my cup of tea, that's for sure. Let's go quickly to Alan in Staten Island. What's going on, Alan?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Alan. How are you today?
Long time. 40 years I'm listening to this show, and you guys are the most entertaining in the morning. Fantastic setup that you guys have.
Well, thanks, Alan. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just want to tell you that the atmosphere in the city is, like, so exciting right now. For the Knicks, everything is great. I mean, first time in 55 years. 55 years ago, I was working for Harry M. Stevens, going up and down, selling popcorn and pretzels and beer and Franks. And I was able to, you know, there were no ball boys back then. We were able to get the rebounds for all the players, everything. The Bush of Bradley, Lucas, Willis, everybody, Clyde. It was just a fantastic deal. And that atmosphere that we find now, we don't find it anytime between 55 years ago and now. It's just fantastic the way everybody's feeling right now. I feel great about it.
Yeah, Alan, and we're right there with you. And it is awesome to have those memories be brought back with this particular team. You have to be of a certain age to say the word Franks, by the way, too.
Yeah, I know that. Yes, you're true. I would just say, you know, watching the crowd after the game on Friday night, I saw a lot of, like, you know, I would say 16 to 30-year-olds. Mm. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
And that is the group that hasn't really experienced anything like this.
That's right.
And that's, hence, therefore, the emotion that you're seeing, the love of the team, the fact that Jim Dolan came out, brought a basketball, and had one of his, security guards outside of his car handed to a young girl.
Yeah.
This is how far we've come.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And this is the kind of thing that Jim Dolan has been trying to build for 25 years.
And 10 years ago, the young girls were giving him the finger as they were driving by.
Exactly. But now, what Leon Rose has done here with this group of guys, and he's found a bunch of winners, now you can see how the fan base is just absolutely so entrenched. And the best news about what happened with the Celtics series is the Knicks got all three home games in.
Yes.
Cha-ching, 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 baby.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.